I'd like to do something before we look into the Word of God here. The women in their Friday morning Bible study have gone through a book, and one of the things that they've been talking about is that God is good, and that God is good all the time. And so one of the things they do there is they say this. So I'm going to ask those women who are there if they'll respond, and we want to pick up on this. It's a good thing. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Amen. All right, church. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Amen. All right, as we come to God's word today, we are in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And I'd like to read these verses. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and he hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and the preaching of it here today. We are looking in 1 John, where John is giving to us tests whereby we can know that we have come to know Jesus Christ, that we are savingly united to him. And we've seen in the book of John, it's not just a lip profession, but it is a life-transforming gospel. And the fingerprints of God's grace are going to be seen in the lives of those who've been changed by his grace, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so John is giving us these tests whereby we can know that we really know him. Or maybe as we look at these tests that we have to say, maybe I don't know him. Maybe I've deceived myself and I do not see these things in my own life. And my prayer as we go through this is that if you're here without Christ, that you will come to be assured and know that you belong to that you can belong to him through faith in Christ. And if you're here as a believer, that you might have this assurance that God will confirm that to your heart. And so John gives tests. We saw last week the test of obedience. Those whom God saves, he saves, and they are those who will be marked. The video of their life will be that they are walking in obedience to Christ, not perfectly, but they are headed in that direction to follow Christ. Titus 2 says, he gave himself for us. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself his own peculiar people, zealous for good works. The test of obedience. If we say we abide in him, we ought to walk as he walked. Today is the test of love. These are things that are brought about by the new creation, by the grace of God. We're happy to have Steve and Lisa Thompson here with us today, former members that now live in Tennessee. And last night was our joy, Jackie and I, as they stayed with us, to hear them share the testimony of their son, their youngest son, who's now 24. Who had been rebellious and was living a very ungodly life, and how God, just in January, his heart was changed. And they were sharing how dramatic a change it was. It was a Damascus Road kind of conversion. And the new creation was immediately seen in that he now wanted to go to church for the right reasons and to worship with God's people. He wanted to change the way in which he was speaking and words that he often used that were ungodly. He also said, I don't want to ever be that man that I was before. And Lisa shared with me that the next day he hugged her, gave her a kiss on the cheek, and said, I love you. She said that hadn't happened for 10 years. And we rejoice in God's saving grace in his life. But this is what the gospel does. It brings about a transformation. It brings about a new creation. One of those things it will produce is love in the hearts of all who have been redeemed by the grace of God. And as we think about that, we see the importance of love in the scripture. John states for us that God is light and in him is no darkness. And he also says that God is love. And if we know him, if we've been born again, then we will be those who are demonstrating love in our own life. There was a lawyer who came to Jesus one day and he said, what's the greatest commandment? And you know, in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of commandments, many commandments. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this. Quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your life. You shall love God. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Taken from Leviticus. And so here is this emphasis that we find in the Word of God, that to be in a right relationship with God is to first and foremost to love him, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And as we talked last week about keeping the commandments, this is always tied together with love. It's not just a mechanical keeping of commandments duty. It is out of love that we keep the commandments of God. In fact, F.F. Bruce said, obedience is the full flowering of our love for him. This is how love will manifest itself in keeping the commandments that God has given to us. And so here is this call to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, this is why we need the gospel, isn't it? These two great commandments condemn us. There is no one who, as a son of Adam, have loved God with all their heart, soul, and strength, and loved their neighbor as themselves. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need Christ to save you from your sin, to reconcile you to himself. And so, to those who have been born of God, this will become something that will be manifested in their life. And so John speaks about love a lot in this little epistle. In fact, 27 times he uses the word love or loves. And that's more than he uses in the Gospel of John, which is much, much bigger. But he speaks much about love, walking in the light, keeping the commandments of God is to love. And so John narrows it down here as he thinks about love. We are to love God, but that's not what he gives us as a test of assurance that we know him. What John does is focus upon love for not just our neighbor or love for our enemy, but love for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. This is what John is going to use here as a test of assurance that we belong to him, that we love the brethren. We see that in verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light. Now, we know that sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? As someone said, to dwell with the saints above will be glory, but to dwell with the saints below is another story. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And it is difficult. But this is where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and loving those whom Christ has purchased with his own blood, to love one another. And this is one of the tests that John gives for us here, to love his people. You remember Peter. Peter denied his Lord three times. But before Jesus, after the resurrection, before he sends back to the Father, he gives Peter the opportunity three times to confess his love for Christ. And Jesus said to him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. All right, Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Care for my sheep, tend to my sheep. And if we love him, if we love Christ, we will have that same love that Christ has. Christ loves his church. Christ loves his sheep. And if we love Christ, we're going to love what Christ loves. And so John speaks about this. This is where the gospel comes home to us, that we now have a new love for those whom Christ has purchased, those with whom we worship and serve together. And so we see the importance of love. And so John, as he writes here, he speaks about the old and the new commandment. This might seem a little strange, but in verse 8, as he begins the subject, he says, again, a new commandment, verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So as he's beginning to speak about this love, he said, this is no new commandment. Ever since you were converted, ever since you came to faith in Christ, you've heard about this. You've known about this. You know from the Old Testament scriptures, as we've already said, that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and we are to love our neighbors, ourselves. And so loving others is nothing new. This is no new commandment that I'm giving to you. This is not some new novel idea. This is something that you have known from the very beginning, since your conversion. It's rooted in the Old Testament, and it's in the Word that I have communicated with you. And in 2 John, if you want to flip over there, 2 John here, Jesus, or John says in verses 5 and 6, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write, as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, here's the same language, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And what is it that we should love one another? This is going to be emphasized by John. But then he turns around and he says in verse 9, you've known this since you've been saved. This is nothing new. But then on the other hand, he says, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you. That thing which is true in him, I think it's in Christ, and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So this old commandment, on the other hand, he says, is actually, in one sense, it's kind of a new commandment. The ESV translates this, at the same time, it is a new commandment. So it's an old commandment, but in another sense, it's a new commandment. Well, how is that so? Well, it's a new commandment, and notice it says, in him. In him. I think a reference to Jesus Christ. A new commandment that I write to you, which thing is true in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we see with the coming of the incarnate Son of God is incarnate love. We see the display of the love of God, and in a new and a fresh way, in Jesus Christ. We see the richness and the glory of this love of God. And what we see in him as the last Adam, the perfect man, the perfect human being, the Lord Jesus Christ, is we see this love demonstrated in his own life. So there's a freshness, a newness that we see as we think about this commandment, as we think about the new covenant, the new age that has come in. We see it in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was a shadow of things that are to come. And here's the reality. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is displaying to us this love that we are called to. In chapter 3, verse 16, by this we know love, because he, that is Christ, laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And you remember in the upper room, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you. All right? speaking to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another even as I have loved you. Here is our example. It is in Jesus Christ. That you would love one another even as I have loved you, that you also would love one another. So it's an old commandment, but at the same time, it's in a sense, there's a newness about it. And we see it in the life of Jesus himself, the one who got down on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. The one who, Paul says, we need to have this mind in us that was in Jesus Christ, that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but we are to think like Christ, who did not come into this world to be served, but he came into this world to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So this is true in him. It is true in Christ. But he also says, this is also true in you. This new commandment that I speak about, this commandment to love, is something which is true in him, but it's also true in you. If you're a believer, this is true. This is a given. This is a given, John says, that this will be true in you as well, even as it is seen in Christ. Now, it will be there in degrees. It's not there perfectly. But this is a part of the spiritual DNA of a Christian, that this love will be there. Love for God, but also then particularly in this context, a love for others, for the body of Christ, for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. This will be a part and a mark of the believers of this new age, of this new age that Christ has brought in. Now, notice he says the evidence of this. He says, this is true in him, it's true in Christ and in you, because the darkness is passing away. There's this light that has come. Jesus is the light of the world. We know that. He said that about himself. And this light has come into the world, and this light dispels darkness. He's brought light, life and light into this world, whereby we see and know and understand. But Christ is that light. And he says that the darkness is passing away. I love that statement. There's hope for us here, isn't there? Wonderful promise. It's a present tense. The darkness is in the process of passing away with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a dark world, don't we? We watch the news and we see all the things going on around us, the darkness that is in our world. But here is this promise that Jesus says, as he is coming into the world, that this darkness is passing away. It will pass away. This world will no longer be. He's ascended above. He's at the right hand of the Father. All authority and power has been given unto him. He's going to come again and bring in a new heavens and a new earth. But the darkness is passing away. And not only that, he says it's passing away, and the true light is already shining. But this is true in the heart of a believer as well. The darkness is passing away. As we grow in grace, as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, those dark crevices of sin in our own life where the light of the gospel comes in and shows us our heart, shows us darkness in our own lives, this darkness, by the grace of God, is passing away. God is at work in us. He who began the good work in us, he's going to perfect that work until the day of Jesus Christ. And that work is to make us holy, to purify unto himself a people who are zealous for good works. And so this light, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into the world. And this very light has come into our own lives as well. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear, beloved Son. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, and he speaks there about this you know, he says, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Have no part with them. For you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. If you're a believer today, you can say that. I was formerly darkness. I was a mole. I loved the darkness. But God in new creation has made me to be a moth, and I love the light, and I am seeking to walk in accordance with that light. This will be true of those who belong to Christ. The Word of God is exposing remaining corruption in us and dispelling darkness that is in us as well. And so we thankful that Christ again will accomplish his work in us. Well, John applies this now. This is true for those who belong to Christ, that they are those who are no longer walking in darkness. They're living in new and different ways. They're a new creation. And specifically, one of the things that will be evidenced in their life is that they are those who are loving the brethren. So he applies this test of love. Verse 9. He who says, we've seen this already in John several times. It's not about what we say necessarily. That's a part of it, but it's how we're living. It's the video of our life. What is our life saying? Not necessarily what is our lips saying. He who says that he is in the light and he hates his brother is in darkness until now. He's in darkness until now. The one that hates. Now, we need to understand this doesn't necessarily mean a positive animosity. You know, that we're going to burn churches down, or that we are going to cut off the heads of Christians, you know, that profess faith in Christ. It's not that kind of a hatred. He's talking about people that are in church, that are under the teaching of the Word of God, but in their hearts they really do not love their brothers. So there is this lack of love, a lack of concern for brothers and sisters in Christ, indifference, really no interest in helping to promote the good of others in the church. And so here is this statement. They may profess to know him, but yet in their hearts they do not love their brother. They hate him, and they're in darkness. Verse 10, he who loves his brother. These are present tense verbs. The video of our life. He who is loving his brother, he's the one who really is abiding in the light. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, and he walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. New creation brings about a new love, love for God, and especially a love for their brothers and their sisters in Christ. With all the problems, with all their flaws, with all their weaknesses, to love them even as Christ has loved us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and he knows God. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Brother John read for us 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, where it describes for us what love does. It is an action. It is a verb. Love suffers long and is kind, doesn't envy, doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not rude. Does not seek its own thing. It's not selfish. Does not think of evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It is a love that is outgoing, a love that ministers grace to others. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, after he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you," I've given you an example to love people sometimes that are unlovely, often can be. That's what we were, weren't we, when he loved us, when we were his enemies. He loved us and gave himself for us. So a new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. And then he says this, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is how you'll know who my disciples are. They love one another. And I'd like to just say at this point, I'm very thankful for my church family. Thankful for your love for one another, your service to one another. I know we're not perfect, but I thank you that you demonstrate and show the kind of love with which Christ has loved us. To love one another, to serve one another, to build up one another. Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he was able to say, "I remember without ceasing your work of love, your work of faith, and your labor of love, and of your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, beloved, your election by God." I can just tell by your love for one another that you're one of God's, that you belong to him. And this is what I would say along with Paul as I think of Bible Chapel. Paul said this to the Thessalonians, "Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." I thank God for the love that is there, but may it increase more and more. And may it be so at Bible Chapel. So I want to ask you, as we conclude this portion of our service, as you look at your life, do you, by the grace of God, have a love, a Christ-like love for those that have been purchased by the blood of Christ, those with whom you worship with and fellowship with? Do you have a love that is an outgoing love, a love that reaches out to minister? And if not, if this is not true of you, we would point you to Christ. Your need is to flee to Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God through him to bring about these changes that are so vitally necessary. And church, for those who have been born of God and this love you can see by God's grace is in your life, thanks be to God that he's not left us to ourselves, that he's not left us in darkness, but in his grace, he has made us a new creation. And may we grow in grace. May we grow in knowledge of him day by day. It's our privilege today to come to the Lord's table, to remember the one who loved us, the one who laid down his life and shed his blood for us. We remember him today. And as we remember him, may we renew our resolve to love even as he has loved us. I invite you to take your insert, and as we prepare for the Lord's table, we're going to sing together the hymn, "Behold the Lamb." Behold the Lamb who bore away our sins. I'll ask on the last verse those that are serving if they'll come forward as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. Let's stand together as we sing.